You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And welcome in. We have reached Tuesday. Great to have you with us. And let's get going with a lot of things happening right now. Some great guests will be joining us. And, of course, your phone calls in just a couple of moments. UK is in the news. Liam Cohn, remember, he was there. Then he left. Then he came back. And then it looked like he was leaving again, but he's back. Liam Cohn flirted with the Chicago Bears, but he's a cat, at least for now. Texas A&M has named R.C. Slocum, the former coach, as the interim AD as Ross Bjork takes off for Ohio State. R.C. did this a couple years ago when Scott Woodward left. Well trusted and respected by everyone. Tyler Booker, talking the transfer portal. He's not going to be like Caleb Downs and Bond and saying he is staying at Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Did anyone think he was leaving?
No.
Did you have him leaving?
No.
Tyler, we're happy you're staying. We'll talk to you soon. Meanwhile, let's talk about what we are going to be doing here on this Tuesday afternoon. Tim Couch. In the 90s, he was the number one quarterback in the country. He chose Kentucky, surprising a lot of people. It turned out to be a good decision for both. He was the number one pick in the draft. Titus O'Neil, great player at Florida, now in the WWE, which is all over the news today with a new $5 billion deal with Netflix. Tom Hart, Dane Bradshaw, and Alyssa Lang, they'll be there in Columbia. Big game there later. Catcher in town. And we are ready for your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. I bet you knew that number already, though. But I decided to let you know one more time. Luke is up first from Birmingham. Hello, Luke.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you for checking in.
So I hear Michigan's head coach is about to go to the NFL. So my question for you is Brian Kelly really going to leave LSU and go to Michigan?
He really is not going to leave because it's my understanding that they're going to promote from within. Remember, Coach Moore, who coached about six games for Michigan this year, is very likely to be the choice. I know Brian Kelly's name has been mentioned for that job, but I don't think there is going to be an opening. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Frank, who is up next. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Paul. I've done it. I don't have a tire. Get my tire fixed right now. And everybody keeps on talking about Coach DeMore on how bad he's going to do.
Yeah. What do you think, Frank?
I think he's going to do a real good job. I would, you know, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
But why is everybody keeps on downgrading this man?
Well, first of all, Frank, I don't think anybody's downgrading the man. I mean, he's got a great reputation, other than the fact that he's lost what, three of his best players before he's even been able to get a banana to go from green to ripe. I mean, it's no big deal. Nothing to panic about. Alabama's Alabama, aren't they?
You're dang straight, yes, sir.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh. That's right.
What did he say?
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
I mean, when in doubt, Roll Tide. I mean, Roll Tide is there's penicillin. There's... There's vaccines for everything imaginable. Is there a vaccine, though, my question, for losing a bunch of good players? Roll Tide. Roll Tide is the XLR that will make everything. It's the antidote for every bad thing that can ever happen. If things are going against you, what do you do?
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. is the answer. John is up next. Roll Tide, John.
Hey, Roll Tide. Hey, the medication is a shot of bourbon, just letting you know on that.
Randy's here today, so there's plenty of bourbon to go around.
He'll drink to that. Hey, yesterday you had a lot of serious callers with serious issues.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
I mean, John, help me with something, will you? I am pretty much perfectly healthy right now in my life. I don't have any problems. Everybody went through whatever they went through around Christmas with all the RSVs. And I mean, but that's over. I feel great today. And you know what? I feel guilty for feeling good.
I'm the same way.
Dr. Laura yesterday. Remember her?
It was
take on the day.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Laura, Dr. Phil, Judge Judy. I felt like I was all those. Jerry Springer.
Yeah, there were physical, emotional, and mental ills, no doubt about it. Eulogies continue to pour in for Nick Saban, but my gosh, he's not dead. And then I thought it was epic that SEC fans are angry at Ohio State for doing what SEC teams do in the NIL.
I hate Ohio State, by the way. I mean, they have a lot of nerve taking our good players.
Elliot knows that.
I mean, by the way, does Ohio State realize that it doesn't matter how many players they get, they're still going to choke in the big game?
Yeah, lose to Michigan. Well, they got that new great OC.
Forget Michigan. What about Georgia?
Yeah. And on a positive note, I think our number one caller, Legends, progressing through his 12-step recovery program. But you know what step number 12 is, right?
I've never gotten that far in the program.
Well, he's got to gather up and take down all the Nick Saban memorabilia and
fat heads,
and then move ahead. Yeah. So, Paul, I want to get your input on the NFL games last week, what you thought, and then who you think is going to be the final two. And on a personal basis, I would love not to see Taylor Swift and Mama Kelsey anymore. And I think it'd be kind of cool if Jack Harbaugh had.
Yeah, I had this question, though, John, and I'll try to say it without upsetting anyone in my family or your family. But when you're Taylor Swift and you see your future brother-in-law do what's Kelsey's first name? Jason Kelsey did.
Travis or Jason, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how many of all of us, you, Randy, me, the whole, I mean, I'm including myself in this, because how many saw our own brother or sister-in-law in that moment?
Never. I mean, unless it was fraternity party.
I mean, poor Taylor, she's dating this guy. It's the first I don't want to say the guy's normal because he's still making $12 million a year and he's famous. But he's not like an actor or another musician. That's pretty much, I actually had lunch one day with somebody that Taylor Swift once dated. And it's a long story and I'm going to keep it private. But it was about 7 or 8 years ago and I was in California. And the guy, it was about six of us. And when the guy went to wash up and I said, I think he's dating somebody famous. And at the time he had just broken up with Taylor Swift. So she, and this guy was part of a pretty famous family. She's never dated just a normal Joe before, and that's what she's got in the Kelsey brothers. But, you know, Travis seems like a nice guy, but his brother seems like a meathead, doesn't he? I mean, I don't want to see that guy across the table at Thanksgiving and Christmas. We'll take a short break. We have a lot to do, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And there is a headline that brought great joy to many, many people in the SEC around the college football and pro football world, but especially in Kentucky, where Tim Couch was recently selected to the College Football Hall of Fame. One of the greatest high school players ever. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. He was the first player chosen in the NFL draft. And Tim, thank you for making time. And I know you've had so many honors, but this one has to really be special. Congratulations.
Thank you, Paul. It's great to be on with you today. And yeah, this is a tremendous honor and, just truly humbled, truly blessed to be selected to the Hall of Fame. You know, obviously very thankful for my teammates at University of Kentucky, the great coaches I had, Hal Mumme, the late Mike Leach, just had so many great people around me that helped me get to where I'm at today. And like I said, just truly humbled and honored by the selection.
You know, when you receive an honor like that, I'm sure a lot of things go through your mind, but I want you to tell us about it. But I'm sure for your family and close friends, I mean, it's important to you, but what is it like? And I know you'll have this moment a few months from now when you're inducted, but what is it like to get that call and then to share it with your closest loved ones?
Yeah, it was an unbelievable moment. You know, I've been waiting on it for several years. I've been on the finals list and, didn't make it for several years. And obviously, it's a very tough thing to get selected to. So I had to be patient and wait my time. And, you know, I thought that hopefully the honor would come at some point. But my family did a very good job of surprising me. We were having just a family dinner. My brother came over, my mother, my brother's kids. And we were just hanging out having dinner. And all of a sudden, they hand me an envelope and asked me to read it. And it certainly caught me off guard. But it was a great moment for me and my family. We all just got to celebrate that together that night. And it was, a lot of emotions hit you when you read that letter and it says, "Welcome to the College Football Hall of Fame." And, you know, for me, I just thought back about all the hard work that I put in and just very grateful for the teammates that I had at the time at Kentucky, the Craig Yeast and Anthony White and the great players that I was able to play with. So just thankful for those guys, thankful for the coaches and the fans and the University of Kentucky, everyone that has been so supportive of me throughout my career. And, it was just an awesome moment for me and my family.
Tim, I want to go back in time because I distinctly remember when you committed to Kentucky. Everybody was waiting for it. And I knew what a great player you were, but I found a list that my mind was blown by it. It was on ESPN a number of years ago. They ranked the greatest high school players of all time. I'm going to give you a couple of the people that did not make the top 10. Let me start with Danny Ainge, Kobe Bryant, just a number of other outstanding people. Among the people that Jim Ryan, the great track star, was number one. Tiger Woods was second. LeBron James, Lou Alcindor, ahead of Wilt Chamberlain and Connie Hawkins. You sit at number 6 among the greatest high school athletes of all time. We're talking about, you don't get to college unless you're a great high school athlete at any college. I know you don't probably have time to think about your high school days, but that had to be quite a time for you, wasn't it?
It was an unbelievable time. You know, we were able to break a lot of national passing records when I was in high school. I think when I graduated, I had the most yards, touchdowns, and completion percentage in the history of high school football. So we were able to do a lot of great things. And I also recently, my high school just informed me a few weeks ago that they're actually building a statue of me back there at my high school. So I'm grateful for that, honored by that. So it's been a really good few weeks with the statue announcement and the College Football Hall of Fame. So it was a lot of fun back in high school. I just remember the crowds. The word had kind of built up around Kentucky, around Eastern Kentucky, where I'm from. So every Friday night when we would go to play somewhere, the stadium was full. It was standing room only. And it's just something I look back on with a lot of fond memories. Those Friday night lights, getting a chance to go out and play, with your best friends that you grew up with all through elementary school. Now you're playing ball with in high school. It was just an awesome time for me and my friends to experience that.
Tim, to say the least, when you're that good, you can go anywhere you want. What kept you home in Kentucky?
Yeah, you know, it was probably my family, you know, because I'd originally verbally committed to Tennessee. You know, I grew up very close to Knoxville, just as close to Knoxville as I did to Lexington. So, you know, I grew up watching Tennessee football, and, you know, Tennessee was very, very good at that time. Kentucky was struggling, and more importantly, Kentucky was running an offense that didn't suit me at all. Obviously, I was a pocket passer, and Kentucky at the time, Bill Curry was the head coach, and they were running an option offense. So I didn't really see the fit, but my dad really pushed me in that direction to go to Kentucky. And, you know, just very thankful that it worked out the way it did.
And you had quite a run there. I distinctly remember many of the games, including an upset over Alabama, which had to be very sweet anytime during that era, or any era for that matter. So then you graduate and you get out of there, and you're the number one player taken. Again, just another one of those milestones that never leaves you. What was that night like?
Oh, that was unbelievable. You know, that's one of those moments that you'll never forget, you know, growing up and, you know, playing football, you just never really even think about being the number one pick in the draft. Obviously, I had dreams of going to the NFL and being an NFL quarterback, but never going into the league as the number one pick. That's just something that's just so far-fetched that you can't even imagine it. So, you know, once the season was over and I knew I had a great opportunity to go number one and had some really good workouts for the Browns before the draft and had a pretty good feeling they were going to take me. And it was a huge honor to go to Cleveland that year. Cleveland was just coming back into the NFL as an expansion team in 1999. So making me the first player they ever drafted in their new franchise was a huge honor. And I got a great experience there. It was a tough road. You know, playing on an expansion team is rough on the body. You know, I took some hits, took a lot of sacks, but you know, I look back on it with great fondness. Had an opportunity to be a franchise quarterback for an NFL team and took that team to the playoffs in my fourth year. So very, very happy about some of the things I was able to do there. Just really had a lot of injuries that piled up on me and kind of made my career inconsistent and cut it very short.
Talking to Tim Couch, one of the newest members of the College Football Hall of Fame. Tim, I say all this because we've pretty well established how unique you were. I wonder, as you watch the current game and we see everything that's going on with the transfer portal and NIL, you know, what are your thoughts? I mean, you're not that far removed from where the game is today, but in terms of the reality of the days that you played versus today, it is night and day.
It is night and day. Yeah, it's a totally different game, you know, and I know it's very stressful, you know, especially on the coaches, you know, because you got to recruit your own kids at the end of the year to keep them on campus while you go out and recruit the portal and, you know, try to get everyone in. So it's a very different game. It's very different than what I played in. And but I'm happy the guys are getting paid. You know, it's long overdue, you know, but hopefully they can get it kind of going in the right direction and kind of get this thing structured a little better, because it does seem like it's a little bit out of control right now with the money a lot of these guys are getting and the ability to transfer multiple times. So hopefully they can get that under control a little bit and kind of get that going in the right direction.
Let me hit Kentucky before you go, because there has been so much happening, and you know, Mark Stoops is one of the most tenured. Is he now the most tenured? I'm trying to think.
He is the most tenured coach
in the SEC. I mean, that is remarkable that Kentucky has been this consistent for so long.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing about Kentucky football is over the years, you know, they've had some good runs. It's been kind of up and kind of down, really inconsistent. But Coach Stoops has really leveled the playing field for us and made us a very consistent, respected football team over the last 10, 12 years that he's been here. You know, going to bowl games consistently, winning bowl games, putting guys into the NFL, recruiting at a high level, developing guys. He does a phenomenal job, him and his staff. They really do. And they've got some good players in the NFL right now. They've got, like I said, they do a great job in recruiting. And it's fun to be a Kentucky football fan right now, because, you know, they've always got a chance to be competitive week in and week out. And, you know, we've won 10 games a few times with Coach Stoops and won some big bowl games. So it's been a great run having him here. And we hope we can keep him here for a long time.
I know you're involved, you know, in the financial world, but I also have seen you often at Kentucky games. I mean, what's it like to kind of be on the other side? I mean, you're certainly not your average fan, being one of the most famous players to ever play in the SEC, but I know you keep up with it very closely. What's it like to be a little older and to watch these young guys?
Yes, it's been a lot of fun. You know, I really hadn't had the opportunity to go to games as just a fan for a while, because when I got out of the NFL, I went right into broadcasting. So I was working for Fox Sports South doing their SEC package. And then I did some work for the Browns. I was calling their preseason game. So really every time I went to a football game, I was either playing or working. So, you know, over the last few years, I've been able to go as just a fan. And it's been so much fun, you know, to go with my family and tailgate and take in the whole experience, which everyone loves about SEC football, and go to some of the away game to see some of the other venues that, you know, when I was a player, I didn't see anything but, you know, the tunnel and the stadium. You know, it's about all you see when you pull in with the buses. So didn't really get a chance to get the whole experience of what it's like at some of the other schools in the SEC as well. So it's been a lot of fun, really enjoying going to the games. I've got two boys now I've got a senior in high school that is going to have an opportunity to play college football as well. He's got several offers. We've got an eighth grade son also. So I'm following them around and going to UK games on the weekend. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, Tim, we're thrilled to have you on. It's always just magical to think back to your career and to see you whenever we can. Congratulations on the Hall. And I know this year will be a lot of fun getting ready for that.
I appreciate you having me on, Paul. It's always good to see you.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Tim Couch, the one and only, just a mesmerizing career in high school and college, and with the Cleveland Browns, now about to be a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. We'll take a short break. Your phone calls are around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back. Great conversation with Tim Couch. Let's get back to our phone calls now. And Swamp Dog is up next. Good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How you doing?
Hey there, Swamp.
We talked about, I'm sorry to inform you, there's another disease among SEC callers.
What's that?
You know, we identified tendonitis with IMAN, remember?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Now, yes. So, Lincoln has non-sebonitis. He's about to become I-Man. It's a spinoff of the sebonitis disease. All he does now, and all he will do, is try to find cracks in George's armor.
For some reason, Swamp, we are struggling to get your connection correct, so maybe we can get you back on the air and make it better. I know this guy has a good connection. Bash.
Bash, Brother Paul. What's going on?
Bash.
Hey, big shout out to Swamp Dog. I always like his calls. I was thinking, Paul, and back me up on this, Swamp Dog sounds like a great name as a name for a caller, but don't you think it's a better name for Trevor Etienne?
Yeah, I think you're right. he is now a dog.
And he used to be in the swamp. I'm right. Like, that's the perfect name. I honestly think whoever Swamp Dog's real name is, he should just lend it to Trevor. But on that, let me just put that on the side, Paul. I wanted to talk to you about women's basketball going on lately. Have you been checking out the rankings that just came out yesterday?
Oh, sure.
What do you think? Who is your early favorite as we stand as the favorite to win the national championship as we currently are?
South Carolina.
Is that just because they're in the SEC, Paul?
No, that's just because they have the best team in the country and the best coach. That's why.
Okay. I agree they do have the best coach and are the number one team. But I think also there needs to be a credit for is my Colorado Buffaloes over the weekend. We unfortunately lost the game. And we knew
Hey, Swamp, before you go on to waste another second, Randy, do you care about the Colorado Buffaloes women's team?
No.
Nobody else does either.
They're the number three team in the
nation,
Paul.
Here's what I did. Here's what you need to do, Bash. I'll give you the number of the Denver call-in show. Call it now. Brad is up next in Macon, Georgia. Hello, Brad.
Mr. Paul, how you doing, brother?
We are doing better now.
Bash, man, he's comical. But, hey, man, I saw Mel Kiper's 1.0 mock draft came out, and guess what two teams produce going to his draft list the most picks in the first round?
I'm guessing Georgia and Alabama?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes, sir. It's Georgia and Alabama. And they had Turner going, McKinstry, and Latham going in the first round, and Brock Bowers, Mims, and Lassiter going in the first round.
That's good.
But I'm just going to say it's a testament to what Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and building their programs and Nick teaching Kirby the way. And, you know, all these kids that are coming out of high school start looking at lists like that. Look at the teams that are
well, no, by the way, you're right. Everybody thinks all these other things are the most important thing. If you're a 17-year-old and you are projected to be a great player, you care where schools produce NFL talent. That is utmost on your mind, whether it should be or not. Mark is up next. Hello, Mark. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I appreciate you answering my call, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say these Alabama fans are getting all upset. I think Coach DeBoer is going to be a good hire. Not to say that, you know, I hate Saban's leaving, but, you know, Coach Saban, he don't owe us anything else. He's got that program right where it needs to be, and I think our offense is going to be better now. We've been looking for a offense coordinator since Sark was there. And I think we're going to be just fine with him, and I'm excited for next year. The one I'm worried about is poor Nicole. No one's talking about that, filling those shoes that she's got to fill. So,
well, you know, Mark, I think, to be fair, not a lot of people knew about Terry Saban when she got there, and that's something that just happens. And I would
yes, sir.
I don't have any issue with that. I mean, that's a different set of circumstances. And you know, really, the longer you're in a community, the more invested you are. And I think it took a couple of years even for the Sabans. It took about 4 years, and I remember, as many do, exactly what transpired. There was a tragedy, and that's what changed everything. Thank you very much for the call. But I think it's terribly unfair to talk about the First Lady having to follow tough footsteps, shoes as well. That's really weird. I did ask DeBoer about his wife and kids the other day when we talked, and I thought he'd been married 22 years. He's got a daughter that's about to go to college and a sixth grader. The older daughter is a softball star that has already signed with Washington. I don't know whether she'll change her mind or not, but I bet they'll have room for her in the portal. Martel is up next in Tampa. Hello, Martel.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I have a question for you about Auburn and offenses. So the last two coaches Auburn have hired have been offensive-minded coaches, Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn. Before that, two defensive coaches, Tuberville and Chizik.
Right.
Now, with Malzahn and Freeze, they're both offensive minds. They came in, you know, Malzahn called plays, then he gave them up, then he took it back. It was just this ping-pong back and forth. Do you see that happening with Freeze? Because I'm just looking at what he did at Liberty, what he did with Malik Willis, you have a similar quarterback with Robbie Ashford who left. What are your thoughts with y'all coming into this?
Martell, one thing I've always learned that offensive-minded play callers like to call plays. And they call them until they can't call them. And I think Freeze probably had too much else on his plate last year, but he's going to call the plays, and I think he should. And you should only give that up if you simply can't handle it and you get a lot of pressure. Like Ryan Day called the plays, and now he's not going to. Why? Because he's under pressure. It is time-consuming, but I'd rather have the best play caller call the plays, and I don't have any doubt. Hugh Freeze is the best one.
What are your thoughts on defensive coordinator that's coming in?
I thought that was a good decision. It's not uncommon to miss your coordinators right out of the chute. I always use Saban as an example because of the obvious, but Saban essentially replaced both his OC and his DC after year one. Things got better immediately. Thank you for the call. Let's check in with Mary in Birmingham. Hello, Mary.
Hey, Paul. I've been doing some thinking, and I was going to talk to you about the transfer portal.
Okay.
You talked about the fact that when a coach leaves, players should have the option to leave too, and I understand that. I was wondering about the possibility of making the transfer portal open at a particular time, say in May, in spring, when you know, maybe things might be less volatile than they are right now, transferring out in May. But also just limiting them from transferring anytime they want to and after maybe even a two-year commitment. So I was just wanting to know your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, those are clearly issues that are in front of the sport right now. And I think what you're going to see, Mary, you're going to see, I think the SEC very well may be the leader in that, where they just institute their own policies. And that can supersede, I believe this is correct, that can supersede the NCAA. Anyway, we are heading to a break. I appreciate the call. Tim Couch joined us early. We have a number of other guests that will be dropping on by, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know I'll be a rat tonight if you'd hold me up tonight. We know how to party.
Are back here on a Tuesday afternoon, and great to have all of you here. Let's get back to some calls, and Jay is up next in Mobile. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Hey, Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Roll Tide.
First off, I'd like to welcome Coach DeBoer and the coaching staff to T-Town. And all my Bama fans out there, we need to get behind them and support them.
I'm curious about something there, Jay. What does that mean when a fan asks everybody else to get behind the coach? Does that mean you're just going to do what?
Support them in every way.
Well, right now it seems like the main way is giving money to the school so they can buy new players.
I mean, well, Paul,
you calling in on a radio show is not going to really matter to the bottom line. It's nice and it's better than the alternative, but is it going to help them beat Ohio State for players?
Paul, when the dust settles, I really think – when the dust settles, I really think we're going to have a good team.
And what and Jay, I know I sound like I'm a teacher in third grade, but what does that mean, a good team? Last year, Alabama finished fourth in the country regular season and went to the semifinals. You think you're back in the semifinals next year?
I think we'll be contenders for the SEC championship.
Oh, is that the new standard at Alabama?
No, come on now, Paul.
I'm just trying to figure out if you're not moving the goalposts a little bit right now, saying Saban's gone, but we just want to be contenders. We want to be in the conversation, right?
All the time. We want to be feared.
If I asked you on January 23rd, if you had we've got 16 schools right now in the SEC, you are aware of that, right?
Yes, sir.
Where would the Tide rank if we were ranking next year, number 1 through 16? Where would Alabama rank?
I put them at 3.
Ooh. 3.
We're still in the top portion.
You think so? And what do you base that on? You base that on losing 30 players from this team, losing the greatest coach of all time?
Just give him a chance, Paul. Well,
my question. It's really not up to me. I already gave him a chance. I had an interview with him the other day. I think I was pretty nice, don't you?
Yes, sir. I say number 3. I say put us about 3.
Maybe 4, 5, 6,
no,
3, 7,
3.
8. After Kentucky or before Kentucky?
We'll see after that Georgia game what we got.
Ahead of Missouri or after Missouri?
I think
ahead of
we'll
Ole Miss
of
or after Ole Miss? I know I sound like an eye doctor here. Better or worse? 3, 7 or 8? 9
or
10?
I got Ole Miss a little bit ahead.
Fine or not fine?
I'd put Georgia at 1, okay. Ole Miss at 2, and Bama at 3.
So you put Bama ahead of LSU, Texas, and Missouri. Is that correct?
Yep.
I wouldn't.
Roll
I put
tide,
Alabama
Paul.
Ahead of everyone job. Right now. Roll Tide. Hey, thanks, Jay. We got an Alabama fan here who thinks Alabama's going to start the season 3rd in the SEC. I don't want to hear that. Do you, Randy? Alabama is either number 1 or they don't play. We're not in business to be. We're not. I mean, Alabama fans don't go around town going, "We're number 3."
No.
Yeah. Get Saban back. Tell him we're not accepting his resignation.
That's right.
Get back in there and do your job like we're paying you. Pruitt is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, War Eagle Paul, how are you doing?
War Eagle.
I just want to let you know, first off, Auburn is up and Bama is down. After hearing Jay from Mobile talk, they're in shambles. I've never heard a Bama team say or Bama fan say that they're number 3 in the SEC.
That is a new one on me. Even when Alabama had Mike Shula as the coach, Bama fans still talked like they own the league.
I agree.
I don't want to hear this for number 3.
I wanted to come in and pick your brain on the Auburn-Bama basketball game tomorrow night. And wonder why ESPN has Auburn as 2-point underdogs.
Well, let me. Every time I explain the line, I'm wrong. But nobody makes anybody anything. A line is put up in Vegas by a group of people that are never seen, and then people bet the line. So it's a perception of where the money is. Right
I agree.
Now,
I agree. So. I agree. But. What do you think the line? What's your prediction on the game tomorrow? Because Bama, they've got this transfer in Grant Nelson who hasn't done anything.
I think Auburn right now is playing better than anybody in the SEC.
I completely agree. Why are SEC teams still ranked ahead of Auburn, though?
I think struggled a little bit early on. But remember, how many teams have won at Alabama in the last couple of years?
Last one I can remember are.
Oklahoma won there last year, didn't they?
Clemson won there this year.
Oh, Clemson won there this year? I haven't been following.
And then Auburn won and Coleman 2 years ago.
I've been in mourning after Coach Saban retired, so I haven't been able to watch anything on TV other than.
I understand, but I just want to let you know that to all the fans movies out there, Auburn is up and Bama's down. War Eagle, Paul.
War Eagle. I will never do. I'm not going to drink anymore before the show. It just makes me very uneven. I mean, I only had a martini. What's the big deal? I mean, two martinis, or maybe it was three. Frank is up next in San Antonio. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Paul. Great show. I want to tell you that. So now that my Longhorns are coming to the SEC, I'm going to start calling in a little more often.
Well, good. We need you.
Your comments, I think, on Alabama for next year are pretty good. I think Alabama's going to be probably a 5, 6, or 7 at the best in the SEC next year. I was going to ask you on your pecking order. This is the way I have it at this point. I think the best team clearly above everybody is going to be Georgia. Then I think there's going to be a second tier. And I think that second tier is going to have Ole Miss, Missouri, Texas. And then I think at the third tier, you're going to have Alabama, Texas A&M, and those teams. And I just wanted to see what your opinions
are.
Yeah,
I agree. Also, I think Georgia starts the season as a team to beat in the SEC. First of all, I think it's a bad idea to make a prediction in January until everything settles out. I still don't know enough about Alabama to even make a call. The portal's still open. They could lose more players. They can get players in a couple of months. But right now, Alabama is a complete incomplete. If there's such a thing.
I agree with that. And last thing. Question so, I had,
but I think Missouri is the team I'm really intrigued by. That Missouri, Ole Miss, and Texas are clearly at the next group, and Alabama can go up. What if Alabama loses its quarterback?
Yeah, that's true.
The Alabama question loses I had, another key component. I mean, Alabama's lost. People can lack. Can I mean, Alabama has lost a great deal right now. So let's see what they can replace. Thaddeus Bullard, Titus O'Neill. Yeah, he's a Gator. He's next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.